Kia ora, welcome to Airman's Podcast, episode 334. Today is Thursday, August 24th, 2017. I hardly know where to begin today. As a matter of fact, I could do a podcast every single day, and there would still be something new to say every single day about this particular election campaign. There has never been anything like it in the two-plus decades that I've lived in New Zealand, and I'm not sure I've ever seen anything even remotely like this back in the old country. So, where to begin? Last time I talked extensively about public opinion polling, and unfortunately I have to talk a little bit about a poll today, but I promise it's only going to be a little, because I know that some people's eyes glaze over when you start talking about polls, but there was an important thing about a poll, more than about the poll itself. So I will have to talk about that today, and the other developments that have happened since I last recorded. But first about that poll. The polling group Colmar Brunton did a poll for One News, which is the news program, whatever, of TVNZ's TV One. And it found that the Green Party was polling at 4%, they said. And they reported that that meant that the Green Party could be out of Parliament completely. Because, as you may recall, in order to get into Parliament, either a party has to win an elected seat or they have to win 5% of the party vote. And once again, we get two votes, the party vote and the electorate vote. Well, there were some major problems with this. First, the actual polling was 4.3%. And the reason that matters is not just semantics. At 4.3%, they're actually closer to 4.5 than they are to 4, first of all. Secondly, getting from 4.3 to 5 is much easier than getting from 4 to 5. It's a lot fewer votes you've got to get in order to do that. So it was dishonest and misleading for them to say that. But they also didn't report on the undecideds. There are 13% in this poll. There were 13% of the people who said they were undecided. Now, granted, that was down from 20, but 13% is still really high. And that's actually not atypical for New Zealand. A lot of New Zealanders don't make up their mind about who they're going to vote for until the final couple of weeks, even, of an election campaign. So the fact that the undecideds is high is not oven by itself news. However, the fact that they didn't report how many people were undecided cast a view like as if all voters had made up their minds and the Greens were on their way out of Parliament, and that there's no justification for making that projection or assumption or even raising the possibility, except, of course, that the news media loves to report drama and excitement and all that sort of thing, rather than the more boring details of how polls work and the fact that you can't rely on that as an indicator of the Greens being out of Parliament. Now, as it happens, there was another poll towards the end of that same week, I think it was, that, or maybe the next, at any rate, it's all sort of blending together, that found that the Greens were closer to 9%, and Stuff, which is a website run by Fairfax, the newspaper publisher, found their poll of polls found that the Greens were at that time also around 9%. And the poll of polls is reasonably accurate. It's done a pretty good job of projecting results over the past three elections, just getting a couple details wrong in one year. And so that suggests that the Greens are just fine, thank you very much, despite this one poll. And it looks to me like this one poll is an outlier. Now, the reason that matters at all is because the Labour Party, assuming that they get enough votes on Election Day, will need a coalition partner. And the Greens are the logical coalition partner because the policies of the two parties are most closely aligned. And it would also mean a centre-left government. If they have to go with New Zealand First, it would be more of a centrist coalition. And we wouldn't see... how do I want to put this? We wouldn't see as many things that I want to see if that's the coalition we end up with. And that's why all of this matters. So I did do a blog post. I did three blog posts, actually, about all this, the original reaction, because I thought the reporting was really not good on that poll. So I have a post about that and then another poll about where the support for the Green Party went, and also another one about how the Greens can still be back in Parliament. And I actually, if I was going to make a prediction, I would say they will be in Parliament. It's just a question of how many seats they have. Meanwhile, Labour continues to go from strength to strength. And in the most recent poll from Colmar Brutton, Labour leader Jacinda Ardern was tied with National Party leader and current Prime Minister Bill English in the preferred Prime Minister sweepstakes. Well, it's not called sweepstakes, but in that particular poll, they were tied. And that's significant. And the thing, I say this a million times and I'll keep repeating it, the thing to remember about public opinion polling is not what it says in one particular poll, but in the overall trend, particularly when you're comparing apples to apples, the same polling company. And the trend has been for National to decline slowly and for Labour to rise. And if that trend continues over the next 4 weeks, then we will see a change of government. It's as simple as that. Whether it does happen or not, it's anybody's guess. There's so much up in the air at the moment, and there's no way that anybody can reasonably predict what that result is going to be. And part of that is because nobody can predict anything that's going to happen. This past week, the leader of the United Future Party, Peter Dunne, announced that he was quitting. He wasn't going to stand for election after all and would leave Parliament, at the conclusion of this Parliament. And the reason was because Colmar Brutton, again, had done a poll in his electorate of Ohareru, which is in the Wellington region, and found that he was in a fairly distant second place to the Labour Party's candidate, Greg O'Connor, is 14 points behind. Now, this was taken, I think, a couple of weeks earlier, so we're talking probably late July, maybe mid-July, and Peter Dunne was running quite far behind the Labour candidate, and it's unlikely that he would be able to recover all of that. And one of the reasons, in the last election, he had a 700-vote majority, I think it was, and one of the reasons why he was able to pull through was because Labour and the Greens both stood candidates. They split the centre-left vote, and Peter Dunne got through. Well, that wasn't going to happen this time. He saw the writing on the wall, and he quit. Now, since then, the Greens have announced, well, they're going to stand a candidate in that electorate after all, and supposedly they're only trying to get the party vote for the Greens. Why they need an electorate candidate to do that is beyond me. But here's the thing. Peter Dunne was a coalition partner for the National Party. With him out of Parliament, they lose that potential. So it really doesn't matter who wins that electorate, because remember, the percentage of Parliament that any party gets is dependent on the percentage of the party vote. So National or Labour can only have as many seats in Parliament as the party vote gives them, and it doesn't matter which particular electorates they win. You don't have to have any electorates to have a majority in Parliament if you've won enough party votes, theoretically anyway. It hasn't happened that way, but it could. So the fact that Peter Dunne stood down means that everything has changed for that. There is one other electorate, Epsom, where there is a deal that National has done with a candidate, with the so-called ACT Party. I say so-called because there's only one MP. He's it. And I think he's probably going to get through again, because Labour and Green voters are not going to do what they should do, which is to hold their nose and vote for the National Party candidate. They've never done that, and they never will do that. They should, but they won't. It's strategic voting, and it's the best way to get ACT out of Parliament, but they're not going to do that. So he'll probably get back in. That leaves only one other coalition partner for National, and that's the Māori Party. And they have one electorate MP. They have two MPs altogether because their entire party vote counts, even though they were under 5%, because they won that electorate vote. And the co-leader, Marama Fox, said recently that she was aware that their people wanted them to be part of a centre-left government. And so she was leaving the door open to doing a coalition with the Labour Party, and which is an interesting development because they've been tried and true supporters of the National Party government. And so, you know, this could change things as well, but it all depends on them getting back in Parliament. And the one seat that they hold, they are in danger of losing to the Labour Party. The candidate in that electorate is a well-known former TV presenter by the name of Tumati Coffey. And if he wins that seat, they're out of Parliament. So there are so many things that we can't know and can't determine and can't prognosticate about, that there will continue to be changes. And those particular things won't be known until the votes are counted at the end of September. but on September 23rd, to be precise. But the thing that there are so many other things that could still happen. It's impossible to make any projections about what's going to happen or to know what's going to happen. And that's why I say I could do a daily podcast on New Zealand politics now, and I still wouldn't run out of material because things are changing so much and so often. But also in the news and related to politics, I think I've mentioned before that there's a minor fringe party called the Opportunities Party, and it's run by this guy named Gareth Morgan. Now, I have mentioned Gareth Morgan once on this podcast, and that was back in 2013. It was episode 295 from January 25th, 2013. And the context of that is that there was a story that was winging its way across the world that Gareth Morgan wanted to ban all cats in New Zealand. And that wasn't exactly the case, and it also wasn't ever going to happen. And I blogged about that and, of course, mentioned it in that episode. So Gareth Morgan is a millionaire, and he's bankrolling this Opportunities Party, the Opportunities Party, or TOP, or TOP, depending on what you want to call it. And he has some candidates running in electorates, and he's trying to get the party vote and so on. And he says he'll sit on the crossbenches, which means neither opposition nor government support. And how that exactly is going to have any influence, I don't know. But a lot of their policies are frankly loopy. And I certainly don't support them, although I need to do an episode just on comparing and contrasting policies, and I'll get to that at some point, I hope. But in the meantime, he got himself into trouble this past week because he was talking about Jacinda Ardern, the Labour leader, and he was bemoaning the fact that he thought that Labour hadn't released any details on any policies, which means he wasn't paying attention, because indeed they have, as has National and have the other parties. And he said that she needs to show that she's more than lipstick on a pig. Well, people didn't take kindly to this remark. It's not a new remark. You might remember that Barack Obama mentioned it. And it was seen as being misogynistic and sexist and all those sorts of things, because of what it implies, you know, lipstick on a pig, that she's a pig or something like that. And I don't think he meant it in a sexist way, but I'm not entirely sure he was unaware of that at the time he said that, and that he may have been trying to get attention. And but he was roundly criticized for it, including by the National Party. Bill English, the leader of the National Party and the current prime minister, said, and this is a quote, if you have got an attitude like that, I don't think anyone in public life would want to work with him. That is outside the acceptable boundaries of political criticism and language. I think he has designed the comments to stir up attention because he hasn't had much lately, which is actually probably true. And I don't think that anybody is going to take him seriously. I don't think that they're going to be in Parliament It's not that I don't think they're going to be in Parliament. I know they're not going to be in Parliament, because apart from a few ardent Green supporters who dislike Labour for some reason or other, I haven't heard anybody express any support for Gareth Morgan's party. And if they actually read the policies, I can't imagine that they would support him. But I don't know. At any rate, the cat thing has, oddly enough, has not come back to haunt him. I frankly thought it would have by now. I would have thought that people would have said, oh, that's the guy who wanted to kill all cats or something like that. And that hasn't been the case. So I don't know. I suppose that that's progress of a sort, that people are not reducing him to his worst statement. But that didn't save Matera Ture of the Green Party. So I don't know why he's getting a free pass. But I don't know. Maybe it's because he's male. I don't know. I don't know what the problem is. Maybe it's because he's rich. I don't know. I'm speculating here because I really don't know. Now, as you might imagine, in an election season, the promises are coming thick and fast for the things that the parties are going to do. And all of a sudden, National is promising to do things it could have done over the previous 9 long years and that they haven't done. They want to make doctor's visits cheaper for poorer people, so they'll pay a maximum of $18 to see the doctor. And they could have done that for the past 9 years and did not. They could have done any number of things that they're promising, and they did not. So it's a bit of a lolly scramble, as we call it. And The problem is that it's unclear exactly how they're planning to pay for all of this stuff. Laborers have been costed, but naturally, National and the Conservatives are trying to poo-poo the idea that these are affordable. The government books were released this week. Every 3 years before an election, the Treasury releases the official accounts, basically, of the country, so that all political parties and all voters will know the state of the books of the country. How well is it doing? What's the deficit or the surplus, as the case may be? How much debt does the country have? All of that stuff, it gets released. Well, the country right now is projected to have a $3.7 billion surplus, and that's the money that the parties basically are talking about spending, or how they're going to spend it. And Labor has said that they're going to slow down debt repayment somewhat in order to be able to make some investments in things like health and education and poverty reduction, those sorts of things, in order to improve New Zealand. Now, the Labor Party has started running its first ad. And none of the other parties that I've seen anyway have done that yet. It's just the Labor Party. And I blogged about it. The ad is quite positive. I think it's a really good ad. The longest, the 90-second version is the best. The 30-second is a bit short. The 15-second version is too short. Forget about that one. And I'm hoping that they'll do a 60-second in the middle version. But I'll put a link to a blog post I did about that, because it has all three versions in it, embedded in that post. But they're promoting, the Labor Party is promoting this positivity, and they're saying that some will tell you to don't rock the boat, but we can do better. And I agree with them. I think that that's a perfectly fair statement, that New Zealand can do better and should do better and won't do better if National is returned to government. So, yeah. Anyway, it's the first of the ads that will appear. I will blog about all of them over time. The Greens actually released their first ad a week or so earlier. But at the time, quite frankly, I didn't realize it was an ad. I was thinking they had done it just for their campaign relaunch, and it was more of an internal thing. But apparently it is an ad. So when I get a chance, I'm going to blog about that. And there are a couple partisan ads that were put out by both National and ACT that are terrible, but they're not ads. So I haven't decided if I'm going to blog about them or not, because they're not really relevant, I guess, because they weren't intended to go out into the public sphere to influence people, I don't think. Maybe the ACT one was. I hope not. It's just awful. But be that as it may. But in addition to all of the promises of spending doling out large sums of money for pet projects and so on, one of the other things that parties often do is they promise to do various things that are politically popular and may not cost all that much. And one of those is the National government has promised that it will raise the speed limit on certain, or will look at raising the speed limit on certain segments of highway to 110 kilometers per hour. Now, in case you're wondering, 100 kilometers an hour is the maximum speed limit on any open road, including most motorway sections. And that's about 62 miles an hour, roughly. And 110 kilometers per hour is 68 miles an hour, roughly. So it is a significant increase, but I mean, it really, in the overall scheme of things, it's not going to make that much difference. But the safety people have argued against raising the speed limit, because they point out quite rightly that whatever the speed limit is, people exceed it. And once they start passing 110 kilometers per hour on our roads, it starts to become unsafe, and because our roads aren't built for those kinds of speeds. And nevertheless, there has been a clamor, especially on the newly built roads, which are designed for higher speeds, or that they can take higher speeds. There has been a clamor to raise the speed limit on those roads, and it may yet happen. I don't know. If National isn't returned to power and there is a change of government, I don't know that they will continue with that plan, or the new government will continue with that plan. I don't know that if they even think about it, I don't know that it will be a priority. There are just too many things to consider, I suppose. But as I said, it is the season of promises, and maybe I should just do an episode on the things that the various parties are promising. Because sometimes it is kind of funny watching it, because you say, it's sort of like a cartoon where one party will say, we'll give you this, and the other party say, well, don't listen to them, we'll give you this. And the first party says, oh, forget about that one, what about this? And so on. It's almost like a bidding war to get voters' attention. And voters will listen to the things that they're interested in, and they tend to ignore the things that they're not. So if a party proposes something that doesn't interest them, it doesn't really matter how flash it sounds or how much money they're spending, good or bad. They just kind of tune out. And so, I don't know, it's kind of pointless in a lot of ways for them to be promising all of these wonderful things that may never actually come to be. But it is a hallmark of election season in New Zealand, and we're getting a lot of that these days. But that is it for today. It's all I wanted to bring you up to date on. Nigel's birthday is this weekend, and so his mum is staying with us for the next while. And I won't get a chance to podcast before the weekend, and maybe not until toward the middle or end of next week. So I figured I better at least get this part in, because there's bound to be more changes before I get a chance to record again. As a matter of fact, as you may remember, I often re-record episodes for one reason or another. And I had completely recorded an episode that I was going to release on Friday of last week. But there was some slight thing I wanted to change, and I didn't get a chance to record it over the weekend, and then Peter Dunn quit. So this just goes to show how quickly things can change around here, and if I don't record and post something fairly quickly, chances are it'll be out of date before I do. And that's what happened in this case. So there you go. In this particular case, the fact that I was a perfectionist and I wanted to fix something in that episode, I don't even remember what now, saved me, because that episode would have been out of date almost as soon as I posted it. So I better get this recorded, finished up, and posted as quickly as possible so that there's at least a little bit of time when it is fully accurate. I'm serious. Things are changing really fast, and I've never seen anything like it. But that is it for today, and that is it for this week. Ka kite anō, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye. You can comment on this or any other episode of the Amrens Podcast at amrenspodcast.com, where you can also leave a voice message. You can send me an audio message through Audioboo or Skype, where my username is Amrens, and you can email me, with or without a voice message, at Arthur, that's A-R-T-H-U-R, at amrenspodcast.com. This podcast is recorded and distributed under a Creative Commons license. Complete details at the website.